Okay. So today, I'll be speaking on sustaining grace. Sustaining grace. We've heard about the specific grace of God, empowering grace of God, other aspects of the grace of God, but today I'm going to be focusing on the sustaining grace of God. Our main scripture is from the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. But before reading our main scripture, I would like to read a few scriptures to establish a background for the message today. And so we're going to start from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and I read. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. So from that scripture, we can tell clearly that whatever we are told, whether in primary or secondary school, about how the universe came into existence, it doesn't hold. The scientists, they can come up with different theories, but it does not change the fact that God created the universe. It does not change the fact that this world that we live in, God created it, God made it. And not only did God create the world, He is the one that is currently sustaining this world by His powerful word. And so, if God decides, as we speak, to withdraw or withhold His word, then we are all finished. And if we read from verse 3 again, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to hers. In the book of John chapter 1, the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the same was in the beginning with God. And it went forward and says, and all things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. Through Him, for Him, without Him, nothing was created. Nothing was made that you and I see today. So, in the beginning was the Word. The Which word? The word of God. In the beginning was the word of God. In the beginning was somebody. And who is this person? Some culture decided to put him in a box. Some culture relegate him to the background. Now, in this season that you and I are in right now, Christmas season, you see, you find out that in some societies, the emphasis is beginning to shift away from the reason for the season. And they're beginning to bring in different words because they just want to avoid that name, Jesus. But you know the truth, brothers and sisters. Jesus, the Word of God, is the one that is sustaining this world. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And if we read further down in the book of John chapter 1, I'm going to turn to John chapter 1. And we see there John chapter 1. Let's read from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory as the glory of one of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God. And it is through him that this world was made. And not only did he make the world or created the world, he is the one that is keeping the world that we live in today. He is the grace of God. Jesus is the grace of God. He is the God of grace. We were told a few weeks ago, the people in the Old Testament, they experienced the grace of God as much as we living in the New Testament. God is not a partial God. Although they saw a different and experienced a different dimension of God or a different experience of God, different from what we are experiencing now by the reason of the coming of Jesus. For example, when Jesus came, Jesus said, and he gave us that right to be able to call him Father. He referred to us as his friends. He said, from henceforth, I no longer regard you as servants, but as friends. Because a friend knows what a friend does. But not the same with a servant. But in the Old Testament, believers, they did not have that kind of relationship. They weren't as opportune as we are to walk closely, very closely to God. You see, their experiences of God was, you know, some this massive voice beaming out from the mountain with fire and clouds. At, you know, there was a particular time where it was so much after Moses had been to receive the commandment, and when Moses came, they could not look at his face. But now we can call him father, friend. Then they sometimes referred to him as Jehovah. Or they sometimes refer to him as the God of our fathers. You see, so there was that, you know, divide between them and God. There was that fear of God. You see, to the extent they could not even go and touch the mountain. What about the placement of the ark? It wasn't even possible. They were not allowed to touch the ark. We saw what happened to the man that touched the ark. What happened? He died. But you see, when Jesus came, he brought us into a different and a whole new experience of the grace of God. I'm going to take us now to our main scripture for today. So if you please turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Okay, so our main scripture is from chapter 1, verse 11 and verse 12. But I'm going to read the whole of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 just to give us, to bring things, to put things into perspective. Now, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So from here straight away we can tell that this is a church that was under persecution. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. Verse 11. So with these in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus be glorified in you, and in you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's our main scripture. See, reading from the beginning of that scripture, we tell that this particular church was under persecution. The church was going through trial. When Jesus called his disciples, he did not promise them a life without trouble. When Jesus called you and I, when we became saved, when we decided to commit our lives to Christ, we're not promised a trouble-free life. If anything, it's a troubleful life. See, the Bible says that those people, so those they who must live godly in Christ Jesus in this world, they must. It's not may. It's not maybe. No. They must suffer persecution. So if you came to Jesus in, well, maybe like me, when I first gave my life to Christ, there's this song, say, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now, he will help you now. So if you came to Christ and you think, or thinking, that is it, I finally come to Jesus, no more hassle. No more hassle. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to bust your bubble here. You are going to be faced with a lot of hassles. Why? Because coming to Christ, coming to Jesus, is just a foot in. In fact, it's not a foot in. It's just your toe in the stream. God wants us to go in and not just walk in that river, but get completely submerged. And so coming to Christ is just our first step. From then on, you must work out your salvation. I must work out my salvation with fear and with trembling. So it's not an easy life at all. It's not an easy life at all. But you know what, brothers and sisters, is the best life. It's the best life because everything we do here as believers, it don't end here. They would carry over to the next life, into eternity. You see, believers are the only people who are not likely to lose their savings. Every other person, whether you have billions or billions here, like that, you could be gone within seconds. You know, the most powerful people on earth, or let me rephrase it, do we know who the most powerful person is in this world? The most powerful person. See, the most powerful person, initially I used to think is the President of America. I'm sorry. I think me, my naivety. I thought he was the most powerful man, most powerful person. But you know who the most powerful person on earth is? The most powerful person is a dead man. Why? Because a dead man has no feelings. A dead man has no worries. And that's how we ought to be. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I am crucified. Gone. Gone. With Christ. You see, but for the purpose of working out my salvation, I live. He said, nevertheless, I live. And I live by the grace of God. The Word of God. That's the center. That's going to be the center, the crux of our discussion today. The Word of God. The grace of God that came in the person of Christ. The grace of God. The Word of God that sustains. Let me read an extract to us about what it means to sustain. It says, to sustain means to make something to continue to exist or happen. To cause something to continue to exist. That means if you withdraw that thing that is sustaining that thing, or that person, that system, then that person, that system will cease to exist. Or if you withdraw whatever is causing that occasion to happen, if you stop it, the occasion will not happen again. Let's break it down to the human beings. And the medical doctors here will tell me. What's the most important organ in the human body? We go for the heart or you go for the brain? Which one? Who is boss between the heart and the brain? Who controls who? The heart or the brain? If you take the heart, put up your hands, please. It's not a test. It's just... I don't know myself. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you take the brain, let's put up the hand. I see more hands going for the brain. We'll leave it there. Okay, I'm not going to pass any judgment. Because I don't have that right. I'm not in a position to say that. But we know that the brain is the control center of the body. So you have different parts of the brain control different parts of the body. Right? And if anything is happening in the body, and the brain begins to send information. So first of all, shut the feet down to make sure there is enough blood to go to different parts of the body, to the vital organs, and eventually the brain makes a decision. But I haven't said which is important, more important, okay? They are both about the same. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what I'm saying is, that's what it means to sustain something. And to us as believers, that's what the Word of God is. The Scripture, the Word of God, Christ, Jesus, is the Word of God. Jesus, He is the Word of God. And that same Word of God is the one that sustains this universe. God is using His powerful Word to sustain the universe. And He came. He is full of grace and is full of truth. And He's sustaining us, believers, by the grace of God, by His sustaining grace. So as we speak, as believers, Christ is working in us. He is in us. He is in us. Doing His work. Inside.
But you see that work that Christ is doing inside, sustaining us inside by his powerful word, by his powerful grace. We must live it. We must express it.
I will come to that as we get to the close of this talk. I would like to take us to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I just like to look at somebody's experience. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll read from verse 1. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or without or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. So we, of course, we know who is talking here. This is Apostle Paul. Okay? I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one would think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassing great revelations. Okay, so let's hold on there. Paul hasn't actually said he was talking about himself there. But we know who he's talking about. Okay. I'm going to now read from the part B of that verse 7. He said, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited. So he gives it away there. See, at the beginning of the chapter, he did not say, he wasn't talking about himself. But here we can see he gives it away there. Okay? He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Then he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Amen. That was Apostle Paul. That was Apostle Paul. You see, earlier on I said something about our life as believers is not an easy ride as believers. We don't live a life that is easy. And we can see from that picture that Paul had a fair of it. He had his own share. Paul's life was a difficult life. Paul's life was a difficult life. Paul did not live a trouble-free life. Here, he made it very, very clear. He had an issue. Paul, the apostle, one of the people we will see in heaven by the grace of God. Paul, you see, when I read this scripture, and then I looked at other scriptures, I said, you see that Paul was not afraid of death. Paul was ready to die at any time. Paul was ready to meet the master at any time. But you see, when it came to this particular issue, the Bible says that Paul said he prayed, said three times I prayed to the Lord.
and I asked him to remove this thorn in my flesh. This man was not afraid to die. This man, if this was an illness, be like a terminal illness, a sickness that could kill him, I personally think or feel Paul wouldn't bother, because he wasn't afraid to die. Although it wasn't, it doesn't sound like an illness that could kill him, but it sounded like something that made him uncomfortable, that inconvenienced him. But that's not the issue. The issue there is, three times he asked God. We know that even if God does not listen to the prayers of some people, Paul the apostle, we know that God heard his prayer. And what was the response? He said, and the Lord said to me, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. What God is saying to Paul, what Paul is saying to us is, he says, the sustaining grace of God. God is saying, I've given you that which will sustain you, that which will hold you, that which will take you through. I have given it to you. That's all you need. That's all you need. Doesn't matter whether you're living with that illness. Doesn't matter the type of illness. What we need is the word of God, the grace of God, that sustaining power of God. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Is sufficient. Just enough to take you through. Just enough. Just enough. Somewhere in the book of Galatians, we find out that Paul, in fact, that was in Galatians chapter 4, from verse 12 to verse 16. In his writing to the Galatians, this is what Paul said. I'll read from verse 12. He says, I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness, this is Paul writing here now. This is his illness. He says, even though my illness was a trial to you, and you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. So where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Okay. Now, different schools of thoughts of theologians, they come up with different things about Paul's illness. So this is not, I'm not here to make a case of what that illness was. But all I'm saying here, whether it was a psychological illness, or it was a biological illness, or whatever it was, he had an issue. That he trusted God for. That he trusted God for. What are we trusting God for today? What are you trusting God for? What are you calling on God for? What am I calling on God for? What am I looking on to God for? What are you looking on to God for? How many times have you brought a particular prayer request to God? How many times? If Paul the Apostle did it three times, who am I to do it more than three times? Not to do it more than three times.
It's all about the grace of God. We need to acknowledge. We need to have that constantly at the back of our minds as we pray, that the grace of God is enough to sustain us. That the grace of God is enough to sustain us. You see, God's plan to sustain His people is through His word. See, if we don't know what Scripture says about a particular situation, we would not know how to react. So it's a call to challenge to read the Bible. Know the Scripture for yourself. Read the Word of God for yourself. Because that's everything is there. Everything is there. Everything is there. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and in verse 3, the children of Israel were told that man shall not live by bread alone. You will not be sustained. I will not be sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Thank you very much. It says, He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. In these days, man does not live on KFC, Burger King, or alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Almighty. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That's our sustaining power. For the believers, as we eat food to keep our physical body sustained, we must remember that there is a dimension to us which is even more real than what you and I see. Because this you're seeing now, this will be no more. But the real Edward cannot be sustained by physical bread. That is the word of God, which came through Christ, the grace of God, the God of grace. Brothers and sisters, I encourage us, look at the word of God. Look at it closer. Give more attention to the word of God. So what should our response be? I said earlier on that God is already giving us everything we need for life and godliness. He saved us. There's no question about that. There's no doubt of the fact that we have been saved. But you see, we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You can see that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians 2, 15, we see there, working out salvation with fear and trembling. Our response then is, how do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? It's not just enough to say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do I work out my salvation with fear and trembling? One, if you are not a Christian, then you don't even have any salvation to work out. So if you're sitting here, you're not a believer, the first place to start is you need to give your life to Christ. So you need to come to Jesus. You need to acknowledge that you're a sinner, like I did. Acknowledge that I was and is still a sinner by the grace of God. God is helping me. I'm not perfect, but I hope to be one day by His grace. But we must come to that point where we acknowledge that we are sinners and say, God, I have sinned against You. Forgive me my sins. Confess your sins and ask Him to come into your life and give you the power to live for you. Once you do that, you have salvation. you have salvation. Not full salvation, because that will only come at the end, but is the beginning of salvation. Okay? Praise the Lord. And then, once you come into that fold, you are now a believer, you're a Christian. We're talking about our response now. How do we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? One, continue to read the Bible and obey the Bible. It says continue to read and obey God's word. It's not enough to read the Bible. The truth is, if you read the Bible and you don't obey it, then you might as well don't read it, because it's just head knowledge. So when you read the Bible, how do you know you're obeying the Bible? The word of God. First of all, you acknowledge it is the word of God. And if it is the word of God, and if you acknowledge that God created the heavens and the earth by his word, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he came to die for you. He is the word, the full, complete package. You don't question the authority of Christ, then you do not question the authority of the word of God. So if the word of God says, do something, you do it. If the word of God says, jump, you should ask the question, how high, Lord? So people, Christians, I read the Bible, they pick this, say that's not for me, this is not for me, I'm sorry, they're just playing games. You're questioning the authority of the word of God. You're questioning the supremacy of the word of God. You are questioning the supremacy of Christ. Jesus is not going to have anyone question his supremacy. And so it is in our interest. Read the Bible and obey. You see, sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't understand. That's why God has put leaders in the church. Our church leaders, our pastors. Pastors that are living the word. Pastors that are obeying the word. Not pastors that will tell me, do this, stand here. And my pastor would refuse to stand here. No. You know when your pastor is not genuine. You know when the pastor is just there to collect money from you. He collects the money. He's in charge. He's only the pastor. Only the pastor. He does everything. The money comes, you have no clue what happens to the money. No. Pastors like that, we thank God for them. We pray that the Lord will help them. Amen. But you see, I thank God for what we have in King's Church. So that's number one. Continue to read and obey the word of God. If there's anything you're not sure, ask your leaders. And if your leader corrects you, if the pastor tells you something, don't argue. If you're not sure, say, okay, pastor, I'm not sure about this. I'm going to check the word of God and I'll get back to you. But I'm sure before your pastor comes and tells you that, he has checked it. And number two, avoid or do not toil with sin. Do not toil with sin. Satan is not going to tie you hands and feet and drag you to the place where he's going to force you to sin. No. There is a process. Recognize the symptoms and the signs. Whether it's sin or a habit that leads you to sinning against God. It starts from somewhere. You know when it's all going to start. How you begin to feel. Whether it's the withdrawal symptoms or syndromes or the performance syndromes or symptoms. You know it. When you're going to sin, you know it. You can't deceive. You can only deceive yourself. You can't deceive God. You know it. When you begin to do some things, when you begin to think in certain ways, when you begin to, you know, begin to avoid people, when you begin to exclude yourself, you know it. Avoid things like that. Avoid things like that. When Satan came to Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden, if Satan had said to Eve, "Eve, take this fruit, eat it now," she wouldn't. She would not.
Well,
I'm sure she would not. But what did he say? He came. But did God say? Did God say? To get her involved. And that was the first step in. Did God say? And then she said, yes, God said, what? And then the second step, he said, no, he didn't say that. What he was actually trying to say is, if you eat it, you become, your eyes will be open. And before you know it, the show is over. So, things like that, we avoid it. I'm talking about working out your salvation and with fear and trembling. Continue to read and obey God's word. Avoid or do not toy with sin. Do not toil with sin. The power of sin is not greater than the power of God in us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than the devil that is in the world. Greater is the power of God. Greater is the sustaining grace of God that's in us than that which is in the world. And if peradventure you find you've sinned against God, what do? Repent. Repent. Do not dwell on sin. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Turn around and move away from it. Number three, always remember that by yourself you are nothing. You are a Christian. Your salvation is not what is keeping you going. The fact that you confessed is not what is keeping you going as a Christian. It is the grace of God that is sustaining you. It is the word of God that is sustaining you. And we must make effort to read that word of God. We must make effort to practice that word of God, which is the sustaining grace of God. So always remember that by yourself you are nothing. You have nothing. And you cannot give or receive anything by your own strength. The day you think that whatever you are doing, whatever position you are, or whatever place you are, whatever service you render in the church, the day you think that you are doing that because you're good at it, then you're finished. Trust me, you are finished. Always remember that by yourself, you are nothing. So when we do that, when I remember that by myself, I am nothing, it puts me under the grace of God. It puts me under the power of God. It puts me under, so that I always check myself. I don't think I'm better than anybody sitting here. The fact that I stand here preaching doesn't mean I'm better than anybody preaching here. The word you're listening to, so now I'm also preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. I cannot come and say this. I have to say this to myself, because that will be a hypocrisy if I'm just now. So we must remember that of our own, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We can give nothing. We cannot receive anything except it is given to us from above. A man cannot receive anything except it is given unto him from above. From above. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. Finally, ask God for continuous filling of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to continuously fill you with the Holy Spirit. Continuously. Continuously. On a daily basis, we must be topped up on a daily basis. Why? Because we need it. We need it for the battles that we face. we need to ask God to constantly fill us with the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, by the grace of God, God will continue to help us to be in the place where He wants us to be. So to recap, to continue to read and obey God's word, avoid or do not toil with sin. You already know the signs, you know the symptoms of sin. And if you sin, please do not tarry there. There's this particular song by Ron Kinnolly. It says, if you catch hell, don't hold it. If you go through hell, don't stop. I like that song. Praise the Lord. If you catch sin, don't hold it. And if you go through sin, please do not stop. Don't park your car there. Just walk away from it. Repent and God will help you. Always remember by yourself, you're nothing. And finally, constantly pray and ask God to fill you. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray.